Welcome to Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out with Julie Caraccio. Every Tuesday at 1 p.m., Julie interviews experts on all areas of clutter, physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional. A clutter coach and professional organizer, Julie also offers tips to help you get clutter-free for a more joyful and fulfilling life.
Thanks to our sponsor, Assistant Angel, social media solutions for small and medium-sized businesses. Assistant Angel provides social media management and virtual assistant training. For more information, please visit assistantangel.com. What is situational clutter? Sometimes life happens. You get married, you have a baby, and all the systems that were working fall apart. We're going to talk about situational clutter and how you can learn some tips to let go of situational clutter, understand that it's just temporary, and help you get more organized. Sarah Skillen is the founder of Skillset Organizing and is a former educator and paralegal. Combining skills from her former careers and life experiences, she specializes in situational disorganization. She loves to share her knowledge of organizing and productivity principles to creatively help people from all walks of life maintain control over their surroundings and reduce their stress. Sarah's organizing tips and ideas have been featured in a variety of media such as Entrepreneur, RewireMe.com, Changing Direction with Michelle Rosenthal, Angie's List Experts, and her own blog. She is a member of the National Association of Professional Organizers and the Institute for Challenging Disorganization. She currently serves on the board of the NAPO Nashville chapter and is an Evernote Business Certified Consultant. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Glad to have you. So let's get started. Until I talked to you, I didn't even realize there's a technical term for this, situational disorganization. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what it is and how it causes clutter?
Well, as you mentioned in the intro, any major life event can throw us off track. And it can be a positive or a negative event, either one. It could be the birth of a baby. It could be having to think about putting an elderly relative into assisted living. And when we are having to put our focus on a major life event like that, a couple of things can happen. One is we just simply aren't paying any attention to our surroundings. And so we don't think about filing the mail or, you know, going through the pantry and tossing out the expired things. And those things tend to build up over time. And there's also the component of what a lot of us know as retail therapy. Or mindless shopping, maybe to, you know, if we're going through some grief or some other heavy stuff, we don't go out with a list. We go out and we buy to make ourselves feel better. So that's a component that can also contribute to situational disorganization.
Now talk a little bit about, because I can see myself in this situation. You have a system that worked. It's okay, you get married. So how can that have an impact? Because, yeah, my life changed, but not that much. So how could something work before and solve your problems, and now all of a sudden the new situation changes that?
Well, simply adding another human being into your home makes a lot of change. I mean, even if it's a fairly smooth transition, there's new stuff in the home. There's different habits which can cause some stress. You know, one person might be a very, very early morning person. Another person might be a night owl. If you're bringing a baby into a home or a new child into the home, there's all that gear, there's all that stuff that comes along with the new person. Even a new pet can come with different routines and changes and things that you have to work around a little bit differently. And none of us are really great at change when it comes right down to it. We're all averse to that. And so there's an adjustment period.
So is change the main reason why people are less inclined to adopt to a new system, or are there other reasons that you've found?
Well, I think certainly change, people are afraid of change, they're reluctant to change, particularly, and I hear this so many times with clients, I didn't used to be disorganized. You know, so there's a little bit of shame there. Why can't I get this to work the way it used to? I'm just not being disciplined enough. So that's the first thing. I think the second thing that can cause it to not work very well is just simply having the knowledge, not really knowing how to change the system, not really understanding how it could be different and how it could work differently.
So what would you say to someone? I'm kind of envisioning a new mom, everything worked, now here's this amazing baby, but they're completely overwhelmed, they just look around and they don't even know where to begin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, first of all, I think all new moms, all new parents need to give themselves a little bit of a break. You need to take care of yourself. You know, it's so true. When I had my children, everybody said, don't do work when they're napping. Don't go around cleaning the kitchen when they're napping. Nap when they nap. And I think for a period of time, that's very important, taking care of yourself first and maybe letting go of a few things that used to matter. And that's hard, particularly if we're making the transition even from being the high-powered, career-focused, always-in-control kind of person to suddenly being completely under the power of a new little life and having that little life dictate everything that's going on during your day and night. And so taking a little time to recover and take care of yourself for a few months, I think, is important. But when you get to that point where you're starting to feel more like yourself, and I think that's true with any situational disorganization, there comes a point where you start to look around and you're feeling more normal again, or new normal, whatever that means, and you start to look around and you start to think, wow, this is really driving me crazy. That's when you can start to take some small steps. It's good to follow that initial instinct and start to make some little changes at first.
Have you found that maybe perhaps perfectionism plays into this at all? Because I'm thinking, you know, my husband's ex-military, and so one day he was folding the sheets. I've never seen, I'm like, wow, that's amazing, you know, because they had to have their everything neat and folded and wanted it folded like that. And I was like, well, then you can fold the sheets, or the option is I continue to do it, and we live in a less perfect world. Well, guess what? He opted for the less perfect world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's good. I think that's part of compromise. If he decided it wasn't the most important thing in the world to have the sheets folded, then I think that's good. There's a phrase I use all the time. I don't know who originally said it. Just good and done is better than none. And so if the sheets are getting put away in some fashion and aren't just wadded up on the floor somewhere, I think that's good. But you're right. There are some folks out there who are really, really perfectionists. Sometimes they tend to be the most cluttered people I know because they feel like if they even get started, it's not going to be the way they really want it to be. So they give up before they even get going on anything.
Now, is there a time limit? After a certain amount of time, does it no longer become situational clutter and perhaps it advances something else like chronic disorganization or hoarding?
Well, I personally haven't encountered that. I'm not saying that it couldn't ever happen. I do think there are some distinct differences between situational disorganization and definitely differences between chronic disorganization and hoarding. Hoarding is an actual diagnosis, and it's still being studied, of course, and still a lot of questions around that. Chronic disorganization is represented more by people who may or may not have to deal with something like ADD, ADHD, or other executive functioning situations where they've tried and tried and tried to get organized, but nothing has stuck. Nothing has worked for them. And those are the people who call me and they say, I've been this way my whole life. Usually, in my experience, the people who are experiencing situational disorganization have not been that way their whole life. They've just had something come into their life that has made a big change and a big impact on them. Usually, those are the folks that, while they might be initially a little reluctant to get started, once they start the decluttering process, the light bulb goes on and they're just on fire. They're sending bags to Goodwill. They're doing all kinds of stuff. The folks I work with who are chronically disorganized have a little bit more difficulty, and we have to many times go a little slower with the process. The light bulb doesn't necessarily go off. They sense that there's something not right. They don't feel good about it. But at the same time, it's difficult for them to make the decisions about what to keep, what to let go of. It's difficult for them to plan ahead. And I haven't personally seen situational disorganization evolve into chronic disorganization or hoarding unless there was already some sort of a tendency or a situation in their life early on that caused them to not be as organized as they could be.
Now, is challenging disorganization, if you could first explain what that is, similar or different?
My understanding of it is that challenging disorganization and chronic disorganization are fairly interchangeable.
Okay.
Again, you've made many attempts to get organized. None of them have stuck. No system has worked, and it's been pretty much a lifelong issue.
Now, have you found that there are any areas where people might have situational clutter? Maybe it's collectibles, and it's just, you know, years. It's just, you know what, I'm really clutter-free in all areas, but there's just one thing that just seems to get me.
Well, that really comes down to whether or not their collection is bothering them or interfering with everyday activities. I can think of an example of, as I was growing up, my mom was very close with a woman who collected dolls. Very successful woman, owned her own business, very sharp on top of things. But her entire home, every single room had dolls, and in particular, there was one room that was nothing but dolls. But hey, she loved her dolls. She loved them. They were part of her life. She knew the history on all of them. Some of them were very, very priceless, expensive collectibles. Some of them were things that she just liked and may not have had a lot of value. But I think the difference there is she loved them, she took care of them, and they didn't interfere with her day-to-day activities. So if you have a collection that is interfering, costing too much money, not maintained particularly well, getting in the way of other people in the home, you know, from their functioning, being able to move or to being able to do what they need to do in the home, I think that's when it crosses the line into disorganization and clutter.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, life happens. We all have things that are probably going to have situational clutter happen to us. So how can we minimize this as much as humanly possible for the next life event that comes along?
Well, it would be really nice if everybody got organized on the front end of something as much as possible. That doesn't always happen. We all have, you know, some sort of organizational system in place most of the time. Even if it's not functioning particularly well. But people don't tend to think ahead about those kinds of things. People don't tend to think, oh, if I get this all organized right now, if we have a major disaster, a tornado or a flood, then I'm set, I'm good. People don't tend to think that way. It would be great if they did. So I do think that once you have been through one phase of situational disorganization and you learn from that, you know, maybe you experienced a death, and you realized all of the ramifications, what happens after that death, the grief. You know, maybe you inherited a bunch of stuff you didn't really need or want and didn't know what to do with it. You learn from that experience, and then hopefully you do get prepared for the next time around. You set up your systems, you do a maintenance kind of thing where you regularly look at your stuff and think, is this still purposeful in my life? Is this stuff that I really truly need? Or is it time to go ahead and let it go? And if you can kind of get in a seasonal habit of going through things, whether it's your closet, your pantry, you know, your memorabilia even, and take some time on a quarterly basis to go through those things, I think that sets you up and prepares you better for the next event, because it's going to happen at some point in time. There's going to be a major change.
Absolutely. Now, do you have any final thoughts on situational clutter that you'd like to share?
I think it's important for people to recognize that tug or that little bit of realization that, hey, this isn't working. This is not serving me. This is not serving my family. Some changes. And to recognize that there's nothing shameful in that. We all experience it. It's something that you need to pay attention to and go ahead and honor, and whether that means you're going to start by clearing out a drawer and just start small and see what happens and where that takes you, or if maybe you need a little bit of help, maybe you need a wonderful non-judgmental friend to come over and sit with you while you're going through your pantry or your closet or whatever, or even to the extent of hiring a professional organizer. I think recognizing when it's becoming a problem for you and then taking some sort of forward-moving action on that is what's really going to help you in the long run.
Outstanding. Now, I like to ask all my guests that this. Share one final tip on helping people release clutter in any area, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever you're moved to share.
Set a timer. Set a timer for 10 minutes. tell yourself you're going to go at it. You're going to, whether it's a file cabinet or it's, or a drawer or anything, set yourself a timer. Tell yourself that after 10 minutes you can stop if you want to. Most of the time with situational disorganization, as long as there's not a chronic issue going on, most of my clients will say, you know what, I kept going. It felt good. It felt good to let go of the stuff that I didn't need anymore. And even if they stopped at 10 minutes, that's better than nothing, right? Any organization is better than none.
Sarah, please tell people how they can find out more information about you or any other good stuff you've got going on and like to share.
Great. Well, my website is www.skillsetorganizing.com. I think you can see it there on the screen as well. I serve the Middle Tennessee area, Greater Nashville area, but I also do virtual organizing and do some coaching online with some clients and have had some great success with that. I also have a blog. It is on my website. It's called Sorting Through the Haystack, and I try to include lots of tips and thoughts and would love to engage with some of your viewers and hopefully get some good comments from them.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Assistant Angel, social media solutions for small and medium-sized business. Assistant Angel provides social media management and virtual assistant training. For more information, please visit assistantangel.com. And I want to thank Sarah.
Thank you, Julie.
And go out and clear some clutter to create the life you deserve and desire.
Thanks for joining us on Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out. You can find out more about Julie Caraccio and her services at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. We'll see you here next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Remember, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.